Hello, thanks for listening. This is, whatever way you look at it, episode 3. My name is Sanjeev Shetty.
And my name is Adam Smith.
And both of us are doing podcasts about multiple sclerosis, a word that is really hard to say. No matter how bad your disease is, it's just not easy to say that word. Anyway, so as you may know, or maybe you don't know, both of us do podcasts about MS. In my case, I have a co-host called Raph Clays, who, for other reasons, can't be present for this episode.
Your son as well, isn't he?
I didn't really say that, but yeah.
I'm sorry. But you've said that in other episodes, haven't you? That isn't just like a big reveal that I've done there, is it?
Yeah, it's not like a lot of duty, is it? No, he is my son. The reason why he can't make this podcast is that thing called school.
Oh, right. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Well, my podcast is My Journey with MS, which I record on my own, not least of all because I don't have a son and my dog can't talk. So I just do it with me. But we decided to, somewhat appropriately in the week of Avengers, they thought they had the best crossover. We thought we'd take them to the cleaners and do the best crossover episode.
I saw what you did there. I thought, how's he going to get Endgame in this?
But, no, okay. Don't worry, I can jab it in, however.
So this is going to be a collaboration. Maybe it might be the first of many, or maybe it might be the only one. But as I've had it for a lot longer than you've had it, mm-hmm. I thought I'd ask you the first question. And this is simply going through all the things that we've talked about over the phone. But can you tell me about what made you think there might be something not quite right with you?
Yeah, it was. So the journey for me was a bit of a whirlwind, really, because certainly, from what I understand now, you know, looking back on things, I believe the journey to diagnosis for most people takes place over a long period that. Doctors tend not to jump to a diagnosis because it can be numerous different things, etc., etc. But for me, I felt one day I woke up and felt as though I was almost like I'd been on a boat. You know, when you get off a boat and you haven't got your land legs back and you're still a bit wobbly from side to side. So I felt pretty much constantly like I was on a boat, and then that developed into, I was waking up in the mornings and it felt like the room was spinning around my head. And it was a sensation very similar to one I'd had many years ago when I had an inner ear infection. So I went to the doctors and was like, look, I think I've got an inner ear infection. I want to nip it in the bud, blah, blah. This is all, I would say, June, July of 2018. And I was saying, I want to nip it in the bud because I'm meant to be getting married in September. And I wanted to basically feel back to normal for my wedding. And he checked my ears, said, no, it's not an inner ear infection. Try taking this thing called Beconase, which is like a nasal spray. He said, use this Beconase and see if that'll, you know, kind of deal with the problem. So I did, took Beconase for a while and nothing really changed. But I also was going on my stag do. So this is July. And so I went on my stag do and one of my best man had arranged to play five-a-side football. So I went and played five-a-side, and during the five-a-side football, as it was sort of towards the end of it, I was getting double vision. And I couldn't quite figure out what was going on, but I was having to basically close one eye to play the football and stuff. So I kind of, you know, went back to the doctor afterwards and said, look, this has also happened. You know, any idea why that might be? It seems to be when I'm doing anything that's kind of high cardiovascular. Any clues why? And he said, no. But he said, I'll send you for a CAT scan. The CAT scan came back clear. And he said, I think it's got to the stage where you're going to need to see a neurologist to find out what's going on.
And at this point, had anyone told you anything that it could be?
No. I mean, I'd done my own Googling, and in amongst all that, MS came up as a possible thing. But, of course, I just dismissed it because, you know, when you Google that you've got a runny nose, it's cancer or something. So I was like, well, I'm just not going to pay any attention to what it says online, really. And so the doctor said, you'll need to see a neurologist. But there was like a 6-month wait or whatever to see one on the NHS. And again, getting married. I thought, I want this to be sorted. So I thought, well, maybe I'll have to go private. So I found out how much it would cost to go private, which was basically my savings. And I thought, I don't really have a choice because, the doctor's saying I need to see a neurologist. I don't think it's going to be sorted until I do see a neurologist. What else can I do? So I paid to go private. The neurologist I saw said, it's migraines. Said, you've got visual migraines. If you give up caffeine, you'll be fine. So I gave up caffeine. And I don't drink a lot of caffeine, Sanj. I'll be honest. Used to have a cup of tea a day, maybe two cups if I was feeling frisky, an occasional kind of Coke, something like that. Not a lot of caffeine,
fat
really.
Fat Coke or diet?
Fat Coke, yeah. None of that diet nonsense. So I thought, how hard is it going to be to give up caffeine? The answer is really hard. Really, really hard to give up caffeine. I had horrendous migraines, like actual migraines, not what the doctor thought were like visual migraines or whatever it was. It was really, really awful. And when we... So he'd also said, I'll send you for an MRI, which really did use up the last of my savings. And I said, okay. Went for the MRI, and he said, well, come in. So let's say that I had the meeting with him on the Tuesday, the MRI on the Wednesday. He said, come back in next Tuesday to find out what the results are. So I went along next the following Tuesday, and... my partner and I, Rachel, we were sat outside his office and we were kind of saying, we need to ask how long I've got to be off the caffeine for. Can I introduce it ever again or will all of these symptoms come back? All of that kind of thing. And he called us into his office. We sat down and he said, yeah, I've just been chatting to the guy who did the scans. You've got multiple sclerosis. That was, ripping off a plaster and, no kind of bedside manner, no nothing, just you've got multiple sclerosis.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I have just, yesterday I wrote a piece about my MS for the MS Research Charity, and they want to put this piece up on their website. And one of the things I talked about was the way I was diagnosed. And I had a much longer build-up than you, but I didn't have a clue where any of this was going. I had lots of separate symptoms. But the when I was told was very, very similar to how you were told. So I was in a room and had been told that I might have had strokes because quite often what was happening that one side of my face would cave in. Right. It would come back to normal within minutes. So when I went in to see the neurologist, he said, the good news is you've not been having strokes. I went, oh, that's a relief. Bad news is you've got MS. And I said, that's life-threatening, isn't it? And he said, not really. He said, I can tell you lots of things, but the best thing to do is look on the internet. By the way, this was in 2004, when the internet was not nearly as big as it is now. You'll find stuff up on there. And the nurse who was sitting next to him said, just scoffed at him as if to say, my God, you're a buffoon, and then got me out of the room. So... if we're going to try and change anything about MS, Adam, I think one of the things is, from our shared experiences, we've both had doctors who perhaps haven't known the human way to deal with telling you that you've got something that's going to change the rest of your life.
Yes, yeah. And I think that the one good thing I would say is that the guy didn't... he did do it as badly as that, but he didn't sort of say, go and find out about it on your own. He said, look, because I was quite upset, visually upset. And he said, don't be upset. It's okay. Like, it's not life-threatening. It's not as bad as you might think and all of that sort of stuff. So he did try to alleviate me a little bit. And look, my friend Andy's a GP, and maybe if he was here, he would say, the best way of dealing with bad news is just to give it rather than to, sort of pander around it a little bit. But certainly it was a real... whack diagnosis because it came out of the blue because he'd said it was... He didn't say the previous week, I think it's migraines, but we better check a few other things. He said, it's migraines, this is what you need to do. We'll do an MRI to confirm. So it wasn't that vicious, if you see what I mean, but at the same time, it really was... not, and English wasn't his first language, so it was a little tricky to understand exactly what he was saying to me. But he said to me, you know, look, one of my friends is a specialist in MS. You should go and see him. You know, if you see him privately, you can essentially skip the queue to see him on the NHS. If you see him privately for one session, which is what I did. I had this private appointment with him, and he confirmed the diagnosis basically, and he talked me through the MRI scan and pointed out the various lesions and all that sort of thing, and explained it to me as best he could. And then said, you know, yeah, I'll see you on the NHS. Meanwhile, just for completion of all this, I went back to my GP for a different reason, you know, a while later. And he was like, oh, how did you get on? And I said, oh, you know, it's MS. And he said, oh, yeah, I thought it might be. And maybe I should have given you an MRI originally instead of the CAT scan. But, you know, these things happen. And I was like, yeah, huh? Tell my bank account these things happen, because that's my savings you've wiped out with these things happen. But, you know, that's life, isn't it, I suppose?
So just to give a broader outline of this. So I've had it now for over 20 years, but I was diagnosed in 2004. You say you were diagnosed last year.
Mm-hmm.
In the 12 months since, how's your MS been?
So the mad thing for me is that nothing's really changed. So the only thing that's definitively changed is the double vision that I had briefly when I was on the stag do, or any time I did any kind of cardiovascular exercise. That has now become permanent. So I've got essentially permanent double vision.
Is there one eye that's significantly worse?
Well, this is rubbish for a podcast, but you can see I've got the little lens on my glasses,
right?
That's basically like a Venetian blind to correct my vision and push the vision back in line.
Right.
And they put it over my right eye, and they've said to have it over my right eye. Right. What they've said at this stage is that they would not be willing to do an operation on me at this stage, because we're still within the period whereby my vision could just correct itself. So they don't want to do an operation and make it worse. So that's the only thing that's got, you know, definitively worse. In terms of everything else, I would say that I've had fatigue, for example. But then you read somebody else's, you know, blog about fatigue, and I think, well, I haven't had that, you know, where they sort of said that it feels like you're walking through treacle and, you know, all that kind of thing. In fact, I think there is a blog, Walking Through Treacle. So I'm like, well, have I had that then? Have I had fatigue, or is it just that I'm just a bit tired? You know, like I don't quite, it's a difficult one to say definitively I've had this, I've had that. But what I can say definitely, the two problems that I have are the double vision that is corrected with glasses with a specialist lens on, but it's corrected in a weird way. So if I were to look at a piece of A4 paper, it would basically be slightly narrower at the bottom than it would at the top. So the world is slightly distorted for me, even with the... So I've got single vision, but it's distorted single vision. And then on top of that, the balance problems that I have, and they're made worse by the vision as well, because what the specialist has said to me is that your balance, you use your eyes, your hearing, the system within the ears, and your touch are the main things that influence things. So the fact that I can't see properly is stopping me from having particularly good balance as well. Now, the flip side of that is, I didn't realise I had balance problems until I went and got diagnosed, because I don't stand on one leg very often. So I just didn't realise that that was a thing. Now, the physiotherapist said to me, you do actually stand on one leg when you're walking, you stand on one leg.
Yeah.
But it, you know, but not for long enough periods of time to realise that I've got it. Whereas now, if I stand on one leg, I just fall over. So, you know, it's an interesting thing for me, because my MS basically hasn't changed since I was diagnosed. So I know that I've got loads of other things to look forward to, I suppose, you know.
I mean, so I would say from my experience that in the initial aftermath of being diagnosed, I certainly noticed things got more difficult for a period of about a year. And this was in 2004. So by about the middle of 2005, I'd started to go back to normal. And what perhaps prompted me to be better, I don't think I actually had that much choice, was I decided to do the London Marathon, which is not something I ever thought I was ever going to do, but I thought I'm going to have to try doing these things that I don't think I'll be able to do in a few years' time. And that seemed to be like a reboot for me. So, I mean, not the actual doing the day. That was horrendous. I'm not going to talk about that ever again. But certainly once I'd recovered, I started thinking that I was back to normal. And much like you have just said about the conversations you've had with your doctor, I started to have the double vision, or what it's, I call it more simply, I just lost the vision, complete vision in my left eye.
Right.
And that was in the early stages of 2012. And everything since then has just been a downward spiral.
Right.
So that my balance has gone, the walking in treacle, that's there. But I had 10 good years before that.
Yeah.
So I don't think about it too much because it's just there. I think it's like, I was listening to a podcast on the way here where a footballer was discussing what it's like to have a serious injury midway through your career and how you have to start thinking about everything that you do, not to put, say for instance, he had a knee injury and he tried not to put too much weight on that knee, or he would start trying to hit a football in a different way. And that's kind of like MS for me now, is that I know now the of the 500 things that I would like to do in a day, there's 250 of them that are now just gone.
Yeah.
And now everything I'm doing is trying to compensate for those 250 things that I can't do. Yeah. That's how I look at my MS now.
I think that what I am struggling with at the moment the most, I think, is the mental health side of coping with that, basically. Like, I think the theory of, you know, you just adapt and you just get used to it and you just whatever, I get that, and I sort of understand the principle of that. The reality of it in play is it's very difficult not to think, why did I get this? Why have I got this? Why can't I do these things? All of that sort of stuff, if you see what I mean. I think that's where, for example, yesterday I had a real awakening about my limitations, I guess, because I, bank holiday weekend, my friends from where I grew up on here on the Wirral were all home for the Easter weekend, and I'd seen them a couple of times over the Easter weekend, and they said, you know, do you want to go and play miniature golf down the front in New Brighton? They've got a really good miniature golf course. So I was like, yeah, great, you know, I do. And I used to be quite good at that. I'm not Tiger Woods, but I used to regularly, you know, if not win, then at least compete at the top end. And I didn't at all this time, because I couldn't get anywhere near seeing where the ball was, basically, or being able to stand there long enough to be able to take a putt convincingly and things like that. And then I came home and I tried to work in the afternoon and fell asleep because I was knackered, and I'd had a lot of sleep. I hadn't had an early wake up or any of that sort of thing, but I fell asleep because I was so tired, and then went for a walk with Rachel, who's now my wife, just to complete the wedding tale. We did get married, listeners.
Must be love then.
Exactly. We took the dogs for a walk, just got a new puppy, and we took them for a walk. And, you know, she was sort of saying, oh, do you want to try and do a little bit of recall with the puppy? And to do that, you know, to get a puppy back to you who doesn't really know their name or any of that, the best way to do it is to be excitable and exciting and throw your arms in the air and all that. And I was like, I can't. I just physically didn't feel, both physically and emotionally, didn't feel like I was in the right frame of mind to do it. So it got to kind of yesterday evening, and I was a bit upset. And, I because I was just sort of thinking, this is the stark reality now of my new existence shown to me in everything that it is. And that I think is the thing that I'm struggling with the most adapting to at the moment. I don't know how you've how you've found that over the years.
Well, I think that, again, as I've written in these pieces that because I wrote one piece for MS Theatre Society UK,